I first experienced depression when I was in university in Trinity College in 1991, 92, in my second year. And I got quite badly depressed. And it lasted for 3 or 4 months, and I missed a lot of lectures and stuff. And I went to my GP, and he prescribed an antidepressant, and I seemed to respond well to it. And I saw a few other professionals, and that was fine. So over the course of my life, I had maybe 5 or 6 depressive episodes of where I'd like need medication or whatever. Then when I came out of that, like, I never saw the mania or the high as being, like, I just thought I was compensating for the lows, you know, so really? I thought I was making up for lost time. Yeah. So I had to fit everything into half the time, twice the content into half the time, you know, that kind of thing.
So would the word swing, a mood swing, be an appropriate way of describing it?
It's not that quick. You're either in a high place or a low place, you know. It doesn't happen like, well, for me anyway, it doesn't happen like a light switch. It's not like that, you know. So I started keeping a mood diary, you know, where I'd kind of go through the day and I'd make a note of a few different things that happened, and then I'd rate myself like a 0 to 10 on a scale for my mood, you know. Whereas in school, 9 is very good, stroke excellent. In the mood side of things, is probably a little bit too high, you know. So 7/8 would be probably the ideal, you know, where I'm happy and content. Yeah.
So you've touched on it there. How do you think the world experiences Michael, and how does Michael experience the world?
Yeah, that's a good question. And like, sometimes I wonder, does the world think, what Michael are we going to get today, you know? So I'm just trying to, I've kind of learned, like, I was only diagnosed with the bipolar disorder after I had a manic episode which went into psychotic lapse or breach with reality. So it was quite frightening and all the rest of it, and I basically was kind of really zero after it, you know, for quite a while. It took a long time to kind of piece myself back together, and I got some good help and stuff. But so I'm only aware of it for the last year, since my mum died 1.5 years ago. So I'm kind of making the Michael that can operate in the world at a normal kind of acceptable level, you know, where I'm not unpredictable, or I'm not hyper, or on the other side, that I'm not hiding away from the world, you know, because I hid away from the world for a good 6 months after Mum died, you know, and I just wasn't able for anything. And then
why would you see, or how would you define it as being distinct, perhaps, to when other people would have
the thing is that bipolar people, I think, experience emotion a little bit more intensely maybe than your average person. So it can become concentrated and can become too much, you know, quite easily. It's a matter of intensity. It's height and depth and east and west.
The key word there is intensity.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. It is. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And with that, a number of people, very famous people, have been associated, linked with this illness, if you like, or this disposition, but they've been amazingly and immensely creative and produced some amazing things for...
So the pressure's on.
For society, yeah. Do you feel the pressure's on? Exactly, yeah. You are a creative person, so
yeah.
Do you find your creativity levels will increase or decrease in these episodes?
Well, I'd have much more energy if I'm a bit high, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, manic. Can feel like you've abilities beyond the norm and that kind of thing, you know.
Do you feel slightly superhuman, is it?
You can, yeah, if you go, it's kind of a threshold, and if you go over the threshold into unreality, All bets are off, really. You know, right. he can be anything from Messiah to whatever you're having yourself, you know.
In terms of, I've heard Stephen Fry talk about his condition as well, and he's talked about other people who have said to express that they feel when they're, if you like, on their high side, that they feel so much closer to the Creator, the Divine. Would that be true for yourself?
I've had episodes where I felt that I'm special in some sort of way, you know, but there is a danger, I think, that in that your spirituality can become skewed, and you can think things that aren't necessarily based in reality. Whereas I believe in God, and I'm a Catholic, and I experience God as real, no matter how I'm feeling. But if I go into in the episode where I had a breach with reality, you know, it was very frightening, and it was very, I don't know if it was real, you know, I couldn't tell you.
Intellectually,
you know, but it seemed very real to me at the time. So there's, what I'm saying is, there's a danger, particularly on the high side of bipolar, you know, of breaching into unreality.
And just to ask you then, things like a lot of people who would not necessarily associate or register as being on any kind of spectrum of disorder or disposition would be on Facebook and social media. And some people wouldn't necessarily be able to behave themselves, if you like, if you want to put it in those terms. How do you feel about you when, you know, using social media?
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I would have been one of the guilty ones on that front. I sent 600 tweets in a weekend, so it was very productive. Half of them were gobbledygook, though.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. So it can be very dangerous.
Really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, and basically, the way I rationalized it afterwards is that I was grieving in the public square. It's not a particularly good idea. It's not a good idea at all.
So anybody who's a sufferer, you suggest to stay away from social media, Facebook, the likes?
Well, no, everyone has to decide for themselves.
Well,
everyone's an adult. Yeah,
sure.
Everyone has to decide that for themselves, you know. But, like, there's a guy that I'm friends with on Facebook at the moment, and he's having some sort of a breakdown, and it's all very public, you know. And I was thinking of messaging him privately and suggesting that he lay off the Facebook for a while, because a couple of friends did that for me when I came back, because I was frightened of kind of, I didn't want to cut it out of my life entirely, but I was very wary about social media because of what I did, you know, and I'm responsible for that, you know, no one else is. So it's not real, really, you know, it's a handy way of seeing your friend's holiday photos without having to kind of go through 50 slides, you know. In terms of actual engagement, it's false.
Right.
You know, it's false.
Very artificial. Okay.
It's a mediated experience, you know, and you're never communicating. Like, we're communicating here, we're both in the same space, we're making eye contact. Whereas on Facebook, if I send you a message, it's beaming up through my DNS server, up through three or four different servers, coming back and then get down into your phone or into your computer, and shit, the heck can that be real, you know?
Exactly.
You know, it's...
And just to ask you, do you ever feel huge aggression or anger? Is that a part of your disposition?
It's funny, I was studying in Maynooth, towards the end of my time there, I had loads of anger, yeah. Loads of it, yeah. I'm not sure if that's a different beast, though. You know, I'm not sure if it's related to the bipolar thing. It can be. Yeah, rage can be a feature of bipolar. Absolutely, it can. But I would have experienced rage a few times in my life. Yeah, but there was always a reason for it. It wasn't out of the blue.
And do you ever feel that you're a danger to other people with the rage? This rage that you've talked about?
No. It's very rare that it happens. And it would only be during a manic episode, you know. So I got diagnosed. B, I'm taking my medication, and C, I'm living my life in a way that's kind of conducive to staying within the bandwidth of emotional sobriety.
And that's an interesting term there,
yeah.
Emotional sobriety.
Yeah.
Is that an actual term that's used with the treatment with regards to the doctors and?
No, that's
therapists?
One I came across in my reading elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But it is one that helps you nonetheless to.
Yeah, it's a term that
I. Bandwidth,
it's a term. It's kind of one of my main goals is to live my life in emotional sobriety.
The last question, and you sort of touched on it at the beginning as we started talking, Michael, was how do you figure, you know, you came so far along the way, and you didn't realize until you didn't put a label, perhaps, on this condition and this way of living and experiencing life until you were 41. How is it that you feel it was missed, and do you feel other people perhaps are being missed?
Because I never had a psychotic episode until my mum died.
Really?
That's the short answer.
It took a major life incident to bring that out.
Bring it forward. And like I was talking to a guy about it, and he was saying sometimes a breakdown is a breakthrough, and in my case it has been.
Thank you very much, Michael, for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.
And God bless you.
God bless.